Hello, and welcome to Restoration. This podcast features a teaching by Mark Rodriguez, using the acrostic, Powerless. Glad you joined us.
Tonight, we're going to focus on four actions, two things we have to stop doing, and two things that we need to start doing in our recovery. And the first two things that we have to stop doing are, and the first thing is stop denying the pain. And we have said that our denial has at least six negative effects, which Vicky talked about last week, which was disable our feelings, waste our energy, negates our growth, isolates us from God, alienates us from our relationships, and lengthens our pains. And so part of that is once we stop denying the pain, we have to stop playing God. And stop playing God is that's probably my biggest character defect out of anything, is that selfish part of me. And, you know, there's that great scripture that no one can be slaves to two masters. We will hate one and love the other. We will be loyal to one and despise the other. We can't serve God and serve ourselves. And that's a constant struggle for me. I mean, it's not like that's something I'm going to be just, you know, healed from. It's a constant defect I have to constantly work on. And the more I do it, the more I realize when I'm playing God and I take control, I need to step back and allow Him to have that space in my life and not me. And part of that is step three, which is the action stuff that we need to start doing, which is start admitting our powerlessness. And it says, the lust of power is not rooted in our strengths, but our weaknesses. We need to realize our human weaknesses and quit trying to do it by ourselves. We need to admit that we are powerless and turn our lives over to God. Jesus knew how difficult this is. He said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so once we can start to admit our powerlessness, then we can start admitting that our lives had become unmanageable. And that's a lot in the first step, is that we realize that our life had become powerless and unmanageable. And so once we start admitting these things, then we can move into the acrostic, which is the first one is P, which is pride. And that one is my whole life before recovery was just this pride and this. I had this mix of growing up in a Christian private school, so having some knowledge based in God, and then taking my addictive behavior and mixing all of that, I had this very religious, grandiose way of looking at things in life. And, you know, it probably came off very arrogant, very, you know, smuggish, and I needed to be broken of that to really begin to see how my life was, you know, in that pride. And so that was one of the first things that had to be broken. And, you know, unfortunately, like it says in scripture in this Proverbs 29:23, pride ends in a fall while humility brings honor. And so anytime I feel like this pride is coming up in my life, one of the things that I use and one of the things I try to teach is humility, is that if I feel like I'm getting bold, or I feel like, you know, I'm ready to take control, which is a word I really don't like to use. I like to use choice. I have to remember humility. And what brings me humility is remembering my story, my own story, you know, remembering where I came from, the hurts I did to myself and to other people. And when I remember those things, not in a shame base, but more in a humility base, it really tells me, okay, God, you know, I can't do this on my own. I have to let go. And I have to let this pride go. And so humility is a very key opposing force for me for when I'm working with pride. And so once we can learn and what's great about all of these is that, you know, it gives us what our character defects or some of the things we may struggle with. And then as we go in the process of this program, we learn how to handle these things and how to obtain tools and knowledge to equip us to deal with this stuff as it happens in our life. Because a lot of these things that I see in here, you know, I still struggle with today, maybe not to the degree I did before, but for me, it doesn't all just go away. But what's great is I have scripture, I have teachings, I have people that have been there before me to kind of give me the knowledge and give me this, these tools to work through this stuff and not just feel like I'm helpless working through this. And so the next one that we deal with is the only ifs. And boy, that one was a big one in my life. One of the things that I first struggled with when I came into the program was my past. You know, everything was reflective of my past. I always kind of lived in my past. I never knew what today was or just being in the moment. It was always my past. You know, something I always heard of was woulda, coulda, shoulda, if I only, you know, just like the acrostic is saying. And so something that my sponsor had a constantly, like literally just repetition of just beating in my head is you can't change the past and you can't fix the past. And so, you know, the past is the past. And, you know, when I first heard that, it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, I constantly had to, you know, hear it over and over. And anytime I would, you know, start with the only ifs or start, you know, having a pity party or reflecting back into that past, he would be there to, you know, can't change it. You can't fix it. And, you know, just like Paul gets upset and, you know, perturbed when I kind of pick on him, that was the same thing my sponsor did for me. And so, you know, it was frustrating to hear, but it was also that transformation. And to me, this is part of that foundation of the transformation of the mind, you know, being renewed by the transformation of your mind. And so I have to be able to start working these things to change the stuff that I've done, to change the stuff that'll help me work in the program now. And so what's great is the scripture verse, whatever is covered up will be uncovered, and every secret will be made known. So then whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the broad daylight. And there's just something really powerful about bringing that stuff out and getting it out and talking about it and releasing it. And by doing that stuff, we just don't give that stuff the power, especially for me, you know, giving that power that it had before. And one of the things that I use kind of for the only ifs and a little bit in the next one, which is going to be worrying, is, you know, it's just a real simple little scripture, but it, to me, it has such a profound just in the moment. And kind of like what we were talking, you know, today is the day the Lord has made. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. And yet it sounds so simple, but is that something I do every day? Is that something that I just equip myself with to just say today is the day? Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but just today. And I'm going to be, you know, in that moment, feeling it, you know, absorbing it, taking it in, and just saying, okay, God, whatever your will is today, let's go. And not have to, you know, worry about what tomorrow is going to bring or what yesterday had to bring. And so, you know, kind of the only ifs definitely does, for me, did lead into worrying. And that was another thing in my old life and in growing in my home, you know, it was constant worrying. You know, my parents were struggling financially, or they weren't doing this right, or they weren't doing that right. And it wasn't, you know, that they intentionally did that. But it's so amazing to me to see the nature of a family and how it works and how just the little things that we do as, you know, they do, again, not realizing what they're doing, but how that teaches me the same model. And so as I grew up and, you know, went on in life, how I would worry about things and worry about life and worry about finances and worry about all these things, and how this just had this weight on me, you know, 1,000-pound weight and stress and fears and anxieties and all these kind of things that just were so heavy. And so, you know, what's nice is that I like this little saying. It says, all worrying is a form of not trusting God enough. Instead of worrying about things that we cannot possibly do, we need to focus on what God can do. And what's great is this serenity prayer. And that was something that really changed in my prayer life as I began to go in the program, was that serenity prayer. Because for me, my prayer life was, you know, God, always take these circumstances away from me. Always take this challenge away from me. I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to do this. And what was so beautiful about the serenity prayer is that the one line is, God, you know, give me the courage to do the things that I need to do. And so as I began to say that prayer, that began to change in my prayer life. And so instead of, asking him to remove the challenges. It was asking him to give me the courage to embrace the challenge, to go through the challenge, instead of walking away or removing the challenge. And so that's been a real positive of the Serenity Prayer. And then there's the other scripture that's really awesome, or a little bit before that, and it says, by working the program and completing the steps, you can find trust, that relationship with the one and only Jesus Christ, so that worrying can begin to go away. And what I like, the word begins. It's not necessarily just, you know, there are miracles and things can happen instantaneously and God can do anything. But for me, it was a process of beginning to take that away. And as I worked those things and began to do the positive things, that stuff began to go away. And so there's just a great scripture in Matthew 6:34, which says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. And in that, there's just cute little clip from Kung Fu Panda. And if Tracy's back there, it's just a real cute little clip. But yet again, what I find in life is the simple little things have such profound impact if we just kind of embrace it and take it in. And so when she's ready, go ahead and play.
Totally.
How's Shifu ever going to turn me into the dragon warrior? I mean, I'm not like the five. I've got no claws, no wings, no venom. Even Mantis has those thingies. Maybe I should just quit and go back to making noodles.
Quit, don't quit. Noodles, don't noodles. You are too concerned with what was and what will be. There's a saying, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it is called the present.
And so to me, again, that's just awesome little saying. Today, today, today. All we have is today. God will take care of tomorrow. But it's that process of learning to release that and allow him to do that. Because, you know, another thing my sponsor used to tell me all the time was that same, you know, the Simpsons where in the beginning you see the baby driving the steering wheel, but the mom is actually driving the car. Well, how many times in life am I doing that? And God is over there going, okay, you do it. And kind of like Vicky said last week, how long do we take the dump truck? You know, do we take it all the way to the dump or do we get off somewhere in line? And for me, there was many a times I took it straight to the dump, through the dump, and just exploded everything before I realized, okay, I got to let it go. I've got to let this stuff go. And so just having that little bit of faith and coming into these doors and looking at this program, it was seeing the example of the people that have been there before me. And that was the little bit of faith that I grew to be able to work the program, was to say, if that person did it and I can see results and they told me their story and they were able to just put that little bit of faith out there and work the program, that was enough for me to kind of go, okay, I got to do the same thing. And the more I step away from myself and allow him to do what he needs to do in my life, the more I would progress in working through the program. And so that was just a real little key, and that's what I love. And sometimes for new people coming in, it's one day at a time. Sometimes it's 1 minute at a time. Sometimes 1 second. Whatever we can hold on to give us that little bit of mustard seed to rely on God to just bring us through the struggle, that's the amazing part of the program. And so the next part in that happens in our powerless is we quit trying to escape. And for anybody that struggles in life, you know, that was one thing from an emotional standpoint I was never taught, was how to face my struggles, you know, how to face pain, how to face hardship. Because before that, you know, my addictive behavior was to escape. You know, I escaped through pornography. I escaped through, you know, my own selfish needs. And I never wanted to deal with the pain. And it was because in reality, I was just never taught how to deal with pain. The way I learned how to deal with pain was through escape. That's how I learned how to deal with pain. And, you know, I'm sure in school and in other areas there was some teaching, but I just wasn't ready to hear it yet. And so it says, Before we admitted we were powerless, we tried to escape and hide from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups by getting involved in unhealthy relationships, by abusing any kind of form of, you know, alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever our hang-up is, by eating, not eating, you know, whatever your hurt, habit, or hang-up is, that's what we use as our coping mechanism instead of dealing with our hurts, our emotions, our stuff. And so for me, you know, just learning to remove that and be able to just live in life, you know, one of the things that my guys hate hearing is just sit in it, you know, just sit in it, you know, and because the learned mechanism for me was that any kind of pain, any kind of hurt, any kind, it was like, boom, you know, I'm going to escape. I'm going to get into my addiction. I'm going to run. And not only does it, is it a spiritual and emotional thing, the brain also learns those mechanisms. And so every time I've dealt with something, and if I go in that certain way, it actually develops a trench in my brain that anytime that comes up, it's like habit. It's like function that boom, pain, boom, act out, boom, pain. I mean, because that's what it knows. And so to actually begin to kind of teach yourself or to learn these new, you know, healthy ways to deal with stuff, you're also kind of struggling a little bit with the brain. And so, you know, that's why it's so great to have a place like this, to have friends, to have those different things to kind of get us out of that funk and to help us on a positive direction. And so from escape, then you go into, let's see. Okay, there's the scripture. For the light is capable of showing up everything for what is for what it really is. It is possible for the light to turn the things it shines upon into light also. And let's see. And the other part of the escape and that mechanism of doing that is I never realized how much energy, first of all, it took from me. Is that when I finally kind of got sober and got healthy from my addictive behavior, I never realized the kind of just energy-wise that it took for me, that I, you know, just the lying, the manipulation, the acting out, the behaviors, all that kind of stuff that just took away from everyday life. And so there was a lot of energy being, you know, taken out of me just living my addictive lifestyle. And then, you know, not only that way, but then how much it took for me from, because when I escaped, I also isolated. And so part of that, and we'll get into that a little bit further, you know, down here, but that also took energy away. Because what the other amazing thing is, for me at least, is when I'm in a group and we're socializing or talking about this kind of stuff, you know, we draw energy from one another. And the amazing part of is being in the groups, and especially when we're separated and we kind of meet, is that, you know, God is there. And it's such an amazing thing that when people open up and talk about their stuff, how not only is there a release, but that there's also this energy, you know, for me that I notice that sometimes I come out and I'm in a funky mood and I can come out of there feeling 10 times better. And it's part that I release my stuff, but it's also part of the energy of the group, kind of, you know, that spirit of God feeding back into me. And so, you know, again, that's just an amazing part of the group. And so from the escape, then we have resentments. And I'm a big one for resentments as well. You know, that was my God playing. And then once I played God and I did all those things that I thought were godly and the way I needed to do them, and then when I didn't get what I wanted as a result of doing that, boy, those resentments would come up. And for me, it was more passive-aggressive behavior that it would come up. It would build and build and build, and then eventually I would just, you know, I could say something very hurtful or be very possessive about things or completely shut down and not talk at all, which is also a form of resentment slash kind of abuse. And so, you know, what's amazing here it says is that if you suppress and allow resentment to fester, it can act like an emotional cancer. And that is, I agree with that 100%. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians, if you are angry, do not sin. Or excuse me, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And there's a story for me early on in recovery where there was a particular man that me and him were really at each other's throats. And, you know, we were both strong-willed and we weren't going to let the other person dominate, you know, the other. And we had almost gotten into it a couple of times. And when I was starting my recovery process and I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, I felt really convicted that I needed, in order to allow that, you know, part of me that was struggling with that, to let that go, I really need him to write him a letter. And so God really pushed me to write that letter. And I remember in writing that letter, I asked for forgiveness for my actions. I didn't say anything about what he did to me or anything of what his part of the side of the stuff was, but I just took responsibility for my stuff and, you know, and apologized and said that if I ever did run into him again, hopefully I would shake his hand in friendship instead of, you know, the animosity that we had had between each other. And I remember just writing that letter, and eventually it had got to him through circumstances, you know, that he was able to get the letter. And I just remember that feeling of all of that weight being lifted off, like that burden had finally been taken care of. But to me, it wouldn't have been taken care of if I just prayed to ask it to be gone. It was the action that I took in doing that that allowed that release to occur. That God said, okay, you performed the action that I asked you to perform. Now I will take it from you. Not that I just prayed for him to take it and it was gone. And so that also began to teach me the little principles that there's some action steps involved that I have to do in order for him to come in and to work in my life as well. And so it says, by offering your forgiveness to those who have hurt you, you are not just freeing the person who harmed you, you are freeing yourself as well. And so that's is very powerful. And the next one in the acrostic is loneliness. And the way my sponsor used to kind of word that for me or show it to me was loneliness was my little glass house, was my little world in which everything was safe, in which everything was okay, but there was a lot of unhealthy behavior in there. And the only way, you know, for me to kind of get out of the loneliness was part of that trust and faith in God and to realize, and part of it, that glass house effect also had the God plane, is in playing this God is that in my simple mind, I thought what I thought is how the world revolved. And so kind of breaking that effect of the loneliness and the glass house was realizing, you know, that people think differently than I do. And that was quite a shock for me coming into recovery, that people don't think the same way I do. And the way I would, presume to think how you would respond to something may not necessarily be. But yet I would have those conversations in my own mind. You know, I could see somebody and kind of see a personality and have this pre-made conversation in my mind and think, oh, that's how that person is, and never yet get to know that person. Well, there's loneliness. You know, so I had to really break that effect of this world I had created in my own mind and really step out in faith. And this one was probably a hard one for me, is loneliness. And I'm still, you know, sometimes it's very easy for me to kind of walk back into my loneliness. But part of that is then I'll begin to feel sorry for myself. And once I begin to feel sorry for myself, then it's very easy for me to go back into my behaviors. So it's almost an opposite effect. I have to stay out of that. And part of that is talking with people, going out to lunch, you know, doing things that were very foreign to me when I first got into the program. But now I look forward to, it's an enjoyment, it's a, you know, it's a fellowshipping time, but it also keeps me away from my addictive behaviors as well. And something that I like what it says in here, and this is something I didn't realize, is it goes, do you know that loneliness is a choice? And, you know, for me, if you would have told me that early on in recovery, I probably would have been like, you're crazy. There's no way. But it, you know, coming through the process that I've come through, I can definitely say that, yes, it is a choice. And so I can choose, you know, and it says in recovery and in Christ, you can never, you never have to walk alone again. And that's, again, the beauty of these rooms, the beauty of the program, the beauty of everybody is that, is the amazing part of not having to walk alone again. And since we're kind of running short on time, I'm kind of going to speed through the last, which one do we got? Two left. We've got selfishness and separation. And, and emptiness, I'm sorry. And so when you finally admit that you're truly powerless about yourself, that empty feeling deep inside, that cold wind that blows through you will go away. And that's something, again, through the process of this program and through the process of working all of this, that emptiness in my life has definitely gone away. And as a result of that, I've found the courage to step out outside myself and the things that I would find difficult, to talk to people, to do things, you know, to embrace the challenges of life. I've found that courage to do that as a result of not having that emptiness and having God's Spirit inside of me. And then you have selfishness, which, again, is a constant struggle. You know, I want what I want when I want it, and I want it now. You know, and that's a constant thing I will always struggle with. And, you know, Luke 17:33, whoever clings to his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall save it. Simply said, selfishness is at the heart of most problems between people. And then I also put, to me, it was also between me and God, because I would always choose my way versus God's way. And so that, to say that's gone away would be a big lie. So, and then the last thing is separation. And, you know, in the program, you hear some people talk about finding God, or people when they come into the church say they found God, and it says as if he could ever be lost. But, you know, what we find is the separation is not God leaving us, but more us. And the way I like to form it, and you've kind of seen me do it before, where I've kind of put the blocks, you know, these resentments, emptiness, you know, all the different character defects. It's like that's kind of the blockage between me and God preventing God from his Spirit flowing through me. And so as I work on my character defects, and as I work on these things that, you know, keep me from God and remove them, you know, and part of it is God's process of removing it, me taking the action to do it. But then that connection comes closer, and that peace and serenity that I never experienced before going through this program that I experience now. Now that I have that, what I learn is if I begin to feel that separation, what is it? Is it, you know, is it resentment? Is it only if? Am I worrying about something? Am I trying to escape? What is these things? Is it pride? And so what I begin to realize is it could be some of these things in my life. And as soon as I kind of work through that and then ask for forgiveness if I need to or do different things, then all of a sudden I make that reconnection with God and I feel that connection again. And so, you know, that's pretty much it as far as powerlessness. And there's just a great little scripture, and I'm going to close with this. And so that way we can get to our groups, because I know we are running a little bit behind. And so I'm going to close in prayer with this. And it says, "Dear God, your words tell me that I cannot heal my hurts, hang-ups, and habits by just saying that they are not there. Help me. Parts of my life or all of my life are out of control. I know now that I cannot fix myself. It seems the harder that I try to do the right thing, the more I struggle. Lord, I want to step out of my denial into the truth. I pray for you to show me the way. And in your son's name, amen."